Hello and welcome to episode 25 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown and I've got two special guests, JK.
Hey.
And Y Sam.
I'm Buck.
He's joining us from England. We're going to have an awesome episode today. What we're going to be doing in this episode is we're going to talk about lists that we're working on in order to confront the current meta. But first off, just a few quick housekeeping items. First off, we want to encourage everyone to continue to join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. The Slack has been exploding in the last few weeks. We've been just getting a ton of people. It's been a ton of fun, having a lot of great discussions. And we would just love to get as many people on as we can get. In addition, we would love any support you can give us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest. Right now, we're working on some alt art cards for Han Solo, for E-Jets, and Ahsoka. If you support us on Patreon, I'm going to be giving those to you. And they are awesome. Very cool. We're like finalizing the design. They should be going out quickly. So go on Patreon and give us some support. But let's let our guests reintroduce, talk about themselves a little bit, and we'll get started in the podcast. JK, you want to lead it off?
Sure. Out here, getting ready for Worlds. I did get an invite. One of the lucky ones, apparently. Really excited. I think I'm running IG Sentries, but the list I'm going to talk about today, I'm at least going to explore the ideas behind it, and we'll talk about that. But that's generally what I'm up to. Sam has more fun stuff to talk about.
I have a few things. Yeah. So I don't have Worlds to look forward to. My next big tournament will be the European Championship, which you guys said you probably will come to.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be staying with you.
Uh-huh.
When is that, Sam?
It is June 1st, 2nd, 3rd, I think.
Okay.
So it's not
quick
too
trip
far
over
away.
The pond.
That's right.
Yeah, you might as well. But I have been to a regional 2 weeks ago now, which went quite well. So I'll give you a quick rundown before we head too much further into the main topic. I want to just shout out Alistair Scott, who was my round 3 opponent and my first loss of the day. This game was so intense. So I was running the same list I've been playing for the whole season. Luke, Ahsoka, Lando, the hero. Hera, Gideon, 3PO, R2-D2 and a smuggler. And Alistair was running ATDP... 2 E-Riots, Palpatine, and like 3 officers. And it was a really, really good list. And it was on Jabba's Palace. And it came down to... I was on 39 VPs. And yeah, 39 VPs. So super close. Alistair got to the 40 just before it. And it was just such an intense game. It was one of the reasons why you play this game is to have these really close games where... everything is happening, you know, people are dying. And I did the amazing trick that I used with Ahsoka to kill Han Solo in most of my games, which was jump in, use wild attack, and a focus from Ahsoka, roll all the dice on Palpatine, and then do 9 damage, and then right back at you to kill him before he gets to attack. And
yes.
Alistair did not expect that, and Palpatine died. And it was awesome. So that was my first loss of the day. Then I won the next one, which was a Tero Dewback Jet Trooper list, which was really interesting. Yeah, it was really, really nice guy. He had regional dice, and I was using his regional dice to roll because I was sour about not having my own. I rolled 7 X-Men with his dice.
Jeez.
That'll learn him.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, really good game, really tactical. I don't think the X-Men would have made much difference, even though I say there's like 7 of them, but it was just like pot shots at Lando or the occasional shot at Ahsoka. But I don't think it would have made too much difference to the outcome of the game. But I was saying to the guys, like, look, if I make top 8, and they give me the dice, I'm going to swap it for that one that I've been rolling all day.
That's right.
But that did put me into the top 8, and I then played the Brett Kelly list again, which I did once again the Ahsoka trick, killed Han before he got to shoot me, which is just so much fun.
Oh, it's the
best. So good. Yeah. That put me through to the top 4, where I faced Alistair Scott again, which was pain in the ass. He's got E-Rights, and we're on Raiden Freight, so he can go and get those tokens, those crates. So easy. But managed. I went through to the final, and I lost to Pete. No, I didn't lose to Pete Wood. I lost to Guy Four.
Yeah, that's right.
who also beat me at the last regional. And it was I gambled, and it was a big gamble. I'm not saying that it would have changed the outcome of the game, but I hadn't seen Son of Skywalker in six of the seven games. It was always in the bottom three cards. Mm. And the chances of it being in the bottom three cards again by turn two, when I'm seeing nine cards by the start of turn two, is just so slim. And it was. It was in the bottom three cards again.
You need to learn. You need to learn how to shuffle, Sam.
Yeah, or stack your deck,
or cheat. Yeah,
or cheat. Yeah. Well, I'm going to take Devotion now. Devotion is going in my deck.
That's actually a great card in that list.
Yep.
Because either any Ahsoka's card's fine, Lando's card's amazing, right? And then Son of Skywalker is what you're doing it for.
Yes, but if I have Son of Skywalker, then, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a lost card.
No, and if you start with Devotional Son of Skywalker, then, you know, I don't think I've lost a game where I have started with Son of Skywalker.
Yeah, it's so good.
And I'd like to see the stats from other people's point of view. Have you lost a game when you start with Son of Skywalker?
Yeah, it's tough.
I have. I've a couple against Kenny, because I feel like every time I start with Son of Skywalker, he has Intelligence Leak.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, it's true. You might. I want you to start with Son of Skywalker if I've got Intelligence Leak.
That's
a good point.
So if we, in the last podcast I was on, I did say I'm taking Intelligence Leak out. Uh-huh. I'm putting Intelligence Leak back in.
Wise. Yep. Did you have Deathblow?
Deathblow was awesome. It contributed to the killing of Han, and it contributed to killing of Palpatine in one go.
Absolutely.
But On the Lamb is just too good a card not to get rid of.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You got. I mean, because think about the damage trade. Even if you take that all as damage on Ahsoka, you're taking three damage for what would have been like an eight damage attack on Han, right? So that's totally worth it.
Yeah, and that's where I missed it, I think. You know, it's great doing those extra two damage, but having... So I had Deathblow, I have a Focus Luke Skywalker, and then I have Han, and Han just walks away from an attack that, you know, would have done eight, nine damage.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Rubbish. Like, Intelligence Leak can flub, of course, just like anything else. Like, you can flip it open, but like every card means something nowadays.
Yeah.
If you get Planning, you're basically trading one card for three.
Yep.
The chances they have nothing are just next to zero. And if you can get Son of Skywalker or Blaze, you have just suddenly shifted the game completely.
Yeah, that's a great point about planning. I hadn't thought of that, but like, you lose one card for three of theirs.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
So I've stopped negating Take Initiative, and I start negating Planning.
Oh yeah, always.
And I'm thinking of dropping Take Initiative of my own as well, because everyone's just going to negate it. How many people have negation in the deck? Everyone has it.
We were actually talking about this, especially so JK was playing a scum list with Devious Scheme, and we were talking about whether or not have Take Initiative is really as valuable, because the only time you're going to need it is round three.
Yep.
And at that point they might have negation.
Yep. And realistically, if you have Take Initiative in your opening hand, it's two turns where you don't get anything. Yep. And then if you're playing a Han list, there's a really good chance that they could take initiative and or
make my own luck,
and if that happens, then it actually doesn't do anything for three full rounds.
Yeah,
like, true. It's a huge shift, but at best you're getting a third round out of it, which is really good. I mean, it's fine, but there is a good chance that you don't see it. You don't use it till round four in a lot of different times, and man, it's the most powerful card in the game if played right and played well.
Yep.
But when you have Devious Scheme, you're just, you know.
Devious Scheme is the most powerful. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, realistically.
It turns the tides on it. So it's actually a really interesting conversation that we're having.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's me done. I managed to come second at a regional, which is that's the best I've done. And it's the best I've done, including X-Wing as well, which I played far more competitively.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. How many people were at the regional?
That's a good question. I think 20-something.
That's awesome. Yeah. Man, that's so great. I love that. People. I'm glad. And I'm also glad that that your list is kind of off meta and still doing so awesome. That's very, very cool. Obviously, you just know how to run it. Okay, let's turn to the topic of the pod. So as we said, what we're going to do is everyone is going to discuss one or two lists that they've been working on in order to deal with the current meta. So we all know what like the strong meta cards are right now, IG, Vader. But realistically, I don't think Vader is like the strongest thing Empire's got going for it. It's like the Trooper Swarm with its strong objective control, Scum Hunters, especially IG, and then Jedi Luke, but realistically Han and Rangers.
And Rangers.
So those are like, those are kind of the dominant meta forces. So what I would want to do is we'll start with JK, we'll go on to YSAM, then me, and we'll just kind of each give lists and then we'll alternate and do it again.
Okay, so I'm going to start. So, I mean, mine's not meta breaking. I don't think any of these are necessarily super breaking the meta. My first one is going to be pure old school Scum Hunters, so no IG-88. The one that I came up with, and I easily subject to change, is Shyla, two sets of Equays, Onar, Greedo, Rebel Care Package, and Devious and Black Market. So that's seven activations, Black Devious Scheme, Black Market. And so the idea behind this one is this is really built to kill Han. You have Shyla to pull because Han next to C-3PO is the worst.
Absolutely.
And you have the weak ways to make him reroll those dice or, you know, tough luck the dodges. And you can kind of go range for range against Rangers. I mean, the E-Ranger is still going to do damage, but because you have four weak ways, you have a very good shot of getting those damage in, trading damage. It doesn't have IG-88. I think this list may suffer a little bit against the IG-88 list, but the thing is you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 damage dealers between Shyla, four weak ways, Onar, and Greedo. So you have seven different high-end damage dealers, pretty high-end damage dealers. Your issue is not getting enough focus necessarily because you don't have enough to go around, but you have a ton of people who can use On the Lamb, Assassinate, Heightened Reflexes. You have Onar's card to give him another activation. And then I think a card that you really look at in here is Slippery Target because you can then drop Weequays in, and this is especially against like Jedi Luke or Vader, where you can kind of bomb them in a little too far, wait for them to make their move back, and then you can slippery target your way out. I mean, yeah, I'm a little bit worried about IG, but the idea is that you can sort of trade blows with him to a certain extent. Your issue is going to be if he pulls On the Lamb, or if he pulls Blaze, you know, he pulls Blaze.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're kind of just living with it. I think it's a little better against Jedi Luke because, again, you just have your weak ways just try to focus fire him. And rerolling the white dice, you're getting through. It also works pretty well against the Empire because you have four people who pierce two.
Mm.
Equays pierce two, right?
No, pierce one.
Okay, pierce one. Even still, you have four pierce ones with the two damage surge. And then, and you have a pretty good range against them. And on top of that, you have Shyla who pierces as well. And so you have a good stack amount of pierce that can kind of help negate Zillow. I don't know that it's better than IG. I would have to kind of run it a bit. This is really going back to the original, very original Jabba's Realm Scum Hunter list from a year ago. And I think this might not be played as much because of we still have Scum Hunter fatigue a bit.
Yeah.
But I think versus the meta, it still really has a place.
I agree. Do you take Shyla's card?
I don't.
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't think you have points for it because you're at 10 with the Hunter, with On the Lamb, Assassinate, Heightened Reflexes, and Tools for the Job.
Yeah.
You have Onar's card is one, Negation is one, Take Initiative, or Tough Luck is one, so you're at three. So you have 2 points left over. I would think that there's better. I actually think Primary Target has become another card to play again. And then, I don't know, you can do any sort of things of change of plans can be in there.
That's true.
Because you can change out of Shyla to a Weequays. You can change out of Weequays for Onar. You can change out of Onar for Greedo. You have any number of different things that you can play with it. And so that's, yeah, I don't think Shyless Carden makes it. But that being said, with against Trooper Swarm, you could do it just because you can get a bunch of damage off against all those people and then cleave. And I think you'd have to play with it.
Also, the good things about it is when you have Devious, so that takes out like 80% of IG's strength round one is that he's got Devious Scheme on his side, right? So you're taking that away from him, which is huge. And I mean, you're just going to eat white dice for breakfast, right? So,
and you have Black Market with a whole bunch of people to use it with. That's a great point. And so you have a lot of different card draw as well.
That's awesome. Cool. Yeah. Well, I really like that list, obviously. I mean, if I were to run Scum, I'd run something like that, probably. Sans IG.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing special, nothing new, but I think it's been phased out of the meta, basically, and so I think it's worth a look back into it that I'm going to at least give a try once or twice.
I would say I think its weakest matchup is probably Imperial Troopers, just because they do have a ton of health on the board, right? Yeah. And so...
But the backside is you have 7 damage dealers.
True. That's
so you can... Point. So, you, like, I'll spend a weak way activation to... kill a Riot Trooper because I'm, 7 versus 7 and they probably only have 5 activations.
Great point.
But yeah, I agree. That's the one that you're going to have the biggest run into, just because Zillow is just such a pain.
Yeah, that's a good point.
or the ATDP Palpatine list.
Yeah.
ATDPs can kill the weak ways in one go.
They can. The problem with the ATDP is, and I saw this from watching Rob's final game versus Morpheo, is that the ATDP, nothing blocks line of sight to it.
Yep.
So once it gets out there, those weak ways are just going to eat that thing alive, right? And so...
Yeah, you have to be patient.
You have to be super careful with your ATDP, or, I mean, a team of hunters will remove it round one. I mean, they can definitely remove it round one. And so if you put it out the end of the round, even then, like round two, it'll be gone.
Yeah.
So if you want to get any value out of it, at least.
Yeah, and it is super scary, and I think that's, whatever the take position is a huge thing for it, but... Even still, I like the ATDP less and less, but that's for another topic. But yeah, the ATDP is scary, but on most of the matchups, you can hide far enough away that the ATDP either has to commit all the way, or it's just kind of a useless thing of points, and I can kind of pop out, shoot, jump back in.
Great point.
But that's why you're right.
Offices and new orders.
Yep.
Yeah. Which of course. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well. Yeah. All right, Sam. Let's turn it over to you. Give us your first list.
So as I've said, I've been playing the same list for a fair while now, and I really enjoy it. It's a really good list, I think. It deals with most things currently in the meta by just hitting it with a lightsaber. However, I think the reason why I took Lando was for stunning things, and that's not really happened. So I'm just taking the same list, which is Luke and Ahsoka as the core, and then the Rebel Care Package Plus. And instead of Lando and the Smuggler, I'm taking Jyn and Mac.
Okay.
I think you recommended Jyn last time.
Yeah.
And by taking Jyn and Mac, it means I can take Balance of the Force, not Balance of the Force, Heroic Effort. Yeah. So it means I get more card draw as well. And I'm not so set on the command deck just yet. There's a lot of things that I want to put in it that just won't fit. I got all the cards I wanted to put in it. It's like 28 cards or 28 points and like 20 cards. It's like, okay, right, I've got some cutting to do. But I think, with the extra stuns, I think that's really important from Jyn. You know, she can shoot twice in a round, which is, I think, really important as well.
Yep.
Having extra attacks. And her focus attack really, really hurts. Or usually hurts. And, getting those stuns off on those big characters like IG or Vader or the ATDP, that's what she's there for. And I think she does it better than Lando, but Lando is just much cooler.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jyn can get one shot easily by lots of things.
Yep.
It's tough for Lando to get one shot.
Yeah.
So... And Lando's got a reroll, which can make a huge, huge difference. So,
and it does. But, you could activate to kill Lando, or you could activate and then Jyn shoots you in the face and you die.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's probably a much better thing to happen. And Mac is there because I think Intelligence Leak is a real necessity. And taking that damage on Ahsoka is just too risky.
It hurts your heart.
Yeah. She's such an investment. She's such an important part of the list. So taking Mac, and I think his like critical hit, Surge, I think that's really, really good.
It's super good.
Yeah.
On cleanup, it's bonkers good.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, you can shoot a smuggler with Mac and or a riot trooper, and you're not too bothered by it. And the blue is much better than the smuggler. So I think it's just an all-round much better list. The problem is the synergies with the command deck has some works to go through. So I might at some point post this list into the Slack channel and just get people to suggest edits or which are the favorites. Because I really want to run dirty tricks.
Yeah.
It 3-strain who in a rebel list, especially, no one's going to want to take 3-strain.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're going to take that as damage. You know, dirty tricks can just kill a smuggler, for instance. So I really think that it's got some legs. I've just gotta get it nailed down.
Are you gonna take Jin's card 1 to 1,000,000?
If I can fit it in, yeah. But I think I'd be dumb not to.
Do you want to tell us what dirty trick does?
So I think if you enter a square, then adjacent to you, then you can either take 3-strain or the 3 damage.
Or stunned.
Yeah.
Or stunned, yeah.
Yeah.
And for this meta that's shifted into E-Riots or E-Jets getting close or Ahsoka and Palpatine and Vader, I think that's a really, really cool command card.
Yeah.
You know, or you have Han run past you, so you're stunning. That's brilliant.
I do love that. Mm-hmm. I love that a lot. I know
that's interesting because that kind of plays with slippery target. Because the same thing I think about with slippery target is, especially in the current meta, with, you know, if you run into Vader or Ahsoka or Riots or, you know, on and on and on, you can get away. But yeah, that three strain or stunned is huge because they've already taken an activation, and so. You know, three strain, 3 damage. I mean, they probably will take it as car. I don't know.
I mean, like, what are they? That's a problem. Like, you're going to put them in a bad spot no matter what.
Yeah. And that's I mean, they could take one or two as cards and then take damage and kind of balance it out. But even learning what cards your opponent has is just such a big,
it's true,
big advantage in the game.
It definitely hurts, like, Rebels worse than others. It hurts Jedi Luke, like, insanely, right? Like, so, yeah, I really like that.
Interesting. And would you do that with the Hunters? You know, would you sacrifice 3 cards in your Hunters list?
No, but, like, the problem is most of the time, Hunters aren't going to be, like, getting adjacent to you. Yeah. Maybe Onar is different, but he also can't get stunned. So you'll just choose for him to get stunned, and then he just can't suffer the condition. You can choose it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It just doesn't happen. Yeah, I was wondering, because it doesn't... I don't know, because it says orb becomes...
You choose the trigger, but then, like, then Onar's thing applies, right? Where it's like, where you become stunned. Yeah. Like, you can spend surges to stun Onar, he just won't become stunned.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, this goes into the weirdness of FFG rulebook, because by saying become stunned means that you have to become stunned, and there's an option to not become stunned.
Yeah.
And so that would mean you could take it the other way. But I think you're right, and I think they've ruled on it, but, like, actual, you know... Yeah. English would suggest have to do one or the other.
Yeah, exactly. The predicate is become stunned, and if you can't become stunned, you can't use it.
Yeah, so you'd have to use it,
All right, well, that is awesome. Okay, so Sam, as we derail the conversation, what else do you have for us on your list? I mean, is there anything else about your list you want to talk about? I love it, obviously.
Yeah.
I think Mac has just been such an underestimation for me. I think, I can't remember, you might have to remind me what Mac's card is called.
Shadow Ops.
Yeah. Shadow Ops. That's a 3-point, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's too expensive, but it's... if you had points for it, it's insane.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't have to worry about on the land if you can't. So Shadow Ops is until the end of the round, the opposing player cannot play command cards. And that's really good, yeah.
Think about what... So I built a list built around this concept with Mac. But, like, if Mac... If you've got a spy list that has got Intelligence Leak, Strategic Shift, Comms Disruption, and Shadow Ops, your opponent can realistically not play command cards for at least 2 rounds, and sometimes 3 rounds in a row, right? That's insane. And so, I mean, you've got to, like, get these cards off. But even if round two, if you can get Mac to, like, be safe, and then start a round two, he plays Shadow Ops, like, you're going to win that round, if not the game.
Well, and that's if you, you know, if you're playing IG or Jedi Luke, and you don't see it round, and you don't, you know, they don't play those their cards round one.
Oh, my gosh.
Then you play it round two, and it changes everything about the game.
It's a great point.
Are you bringing comms disruption in that list?
No. The command, because there's so many different things, because you have Jedi, because you have smugglers, and because you have spies, you have too much. The command deck is so tight.
Yeah.
And I can't warrant comms destruction, I don't think.
You've got Intelligence League, which is kind of like, it's like a soft comms
destruction. With three, it's like three spies, it's hard to not take it, because then you're getting Son of Skywalker on the Lamb, Assassinate, and Blaze. But two, it's right on that thing. I mean, you're getting Blaze, you're getting Overrun, you're getting, you know, Heightened Reflexes, Tools for the Job.
Yep. Maybe, but you have to draw and keep the, your spies alive is the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you include Comms Disrupt to get rid of Blaze, and then you lose Mac or Ahsoka, it's like...
Yeah.
Kind of but thing. Having devotion also then means that, okay, I can go get Shadow Ops, or I can go get Son of Skywalker if I already have it.
That's true.
But then that means you've only got 14 cards in your command deck because you have devotion.
Yeah.
You know, this is where I was talking about not taking take initiative, because, you know, you can plan for just not having the initiative.
And, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And people will just hold negate to stop take initiative.
Yeah. It's true.
It means they've got a dead card. And that's fine.
Especially if you start with initiative, especially.
That's a great point, actually. I'm going to have to think. I mean, like, I think Shadow Ops, Mac's card, it never sees play, mostly because Mac never sees play. And if he does see play, it's really expensive. But, like, if you can get Balance of the Force in there, all of a sudden now we're thinking about kind of a different scenario. I would suggest if you... So, I think that, obviously, Jyn and Hera go really well together. But realistically, like, if Hera is only there for Jyn, it might not be bad to drop Hera. I know that sounds insane.
Yeah.
And toss in like R2-D2 and Balance of the Force. Because then you're losing an attacker, but you're getting cards. And you can put Balance of the Force so you can get more powerful cards. And Jyn is just going to you just assume she's going to be solo, right? Like, she's going to do whatever she's going to do, but she's going to do it alone without Hera's help.
Yep.
That's not that bad.
Yeah. I know, so Hera's,
I've already got R2-D2, so I've got 3 points if I take out Hera. Which would only leave Chopper or another smuggler, and if I take the smuggler, I'd lose
heroic effort.
I'm not sure. I mean, Hera is so good with
Hera's so good.
Not only is she good with Jyn, but she's also there for Ahsoka. She's also there for, in this case, Mac. You know, getting that extra surge to do those critical strikes. I don't think Hera is. I think she's necessary. I don't think she's optional.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have a reason to cut her. And if you don't have a reason to cut her, like...
Hera is better than, like, Shadow Ops on Mac. So,
yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's awesome. All right, so I'm going to just quickly run over the list that I've been working on right now. So right now, the list... I've got 4 lists that I'm kind of working on in preparation for Worlds. 3 of them are, like, smuggler box-focused lists, but this one is not. It's Kotoon, Ahsoka, and E-Rangers. So the list is Alliance Rangers at 12 points, Ahsoka at 8, Kotoon at 7, Hera at 4, Gideon at 3, 2 sets of Alliance Smugglers, and C-3PO. So the list, I know that Ahsoka is not as good as Han and Alliance Smugglers, which is kind of the trade that you're making there. But Ahsoka gives me a few things. One is she gives me the ability to remove white die figures at low health that I need to kill. Which is, like, even Han can't realistically give that to you. She's guaranteed to do the damage I need to finish people off. Obviously, she's a perimeter runner, and she's awesome. She's also a spy, so I can bring Intelligence Leak. And the command deck is built all around rolling more red cards, or rolling more red die. So I've got Concentrated Fire. I've got Field Supply, which is Kotoon's card. I've got Wild Attack. I've got Tools for the Job, and obviously, like the other 100 cards, I've got Assassinate, Heightened Reflexes. But the idea is that Kotoon, with giving the damage tokens out to my Rangers, is going to negate white die rolls. So I know this sounds crazy, because who's rolling white die? Well, the problem is, for me, the things that roll white die are the things I hate to face, which is Jedi, Luke, and Han, right? Those are, like, my two arc nemesis in terms of, like, if I run into them, they're just going to give me tons of problems. They always gave the box tons of problems, and so I needed a way to deal with them. So this is, like, what I'm thinking about. Han is going to have to burn on the lamb really quickly when he's in the face of, like, red dice Alliance Rangers who are going to negate any dodge that he's got. So that's, like, the idea of the list is that Ahsoka runs around the perimeter, picks off people who get out of position. The Rangers, Kotun and Hera, hover around each other in order to just deal strong, consistent damage at far range. The smugglers are there to pick up objectives, run around, you know, do the things that they do. Smugglers are awesome, especially, I mean, the current meta, smugglers are so good. Their ability, in every single map, they can do something in terms of either pressuring objectives, forcing your opponent to sacrifice shots on them. They're just great, absolutely great figures. I mean, Kotun's the only one who, I don't think she's not quite worth her points. She's 7 points for a 9 health figure, and she's kind of like a focus ranger. She's probably not quite there, but she gives incredible, you know, risk mitigation in terms of getting rid of dodges. Giving out tokens is good. She's got a decent attack on her own. And for 7 points, I can't think of something else that would synergize very well with troopers and is giving me what I want to have is long range threats, right? So that keep people away. And I think that Kotun really fulfills that responsibility. And I don't know if any other figure realistically at that cost that can do that.
I've played against this list quite a lot. My travel buddy, Justin, he plays this list, which is why I know how to kill Kotun so easily. And it's a really strong list. And the command cards, you can get, like, you can get Inspiring Speech, and then you could do the Prepared for Battle and all that rubbish. So you have all your ranges are focused in turn one, and Kotun's focused turn one. You've got Hera that adds the extra. You've got all of these bloody damage tokens that are just littered across all your guys. And there's so much damage in this list. And I think Ahsoka is the right choice over Han, because she puts this added pressure. And her mobility also means that she can redeploy to key areas where you need that help, or you need a speed bump for your rangers, which will just kill everything on most of the maps. Kotun is really good. I think she's really underestimated.
I think so too.
You know, she's 7 points, and she can, when she's focused, she's what, blue green.
Two blues, two greens, which is insane. And she has a reroll.
And that's awesome. And she'll probably have a damage token on top of that.
Yeah. Well, actually, she can't gain damage tokens except with Prepared for Battle, because her ability, Arms Distribution, is at the start of your activation, you can choose another friendly figure within 3 spaces, gains a damage or a block. And then her card is Field Supply, and that is, it's kind of the same thing. It's at the start of a round, up to 2 other figures within 3 spaces gain a damage token or a surge token.
Yeah.
The surge token on Rangers is so good if they're not hidden. I mean, because they can use all of their surges, and so that's awesome to have.
Yeah, but even still, that blue-blue-green-green is really good for damage.
It hits hard. And I've got Call of Vanguard in there, which she can use.
Yep.
So I've got 4 figures that can hit hard that can use Call of Vanguard. Mm-hmm. So, and with Concentrated Fire... Yes, and she's a leader, right? Exactly. So, I mean, I don't think it's the best list because it doesn't have Han Solo in it, but it's got Ahsoka in it, and it's got ways to respond to threats that I need to respond to, right?
Yeah, on certain maps, it could just be really good. Like, now Hutta, has the ability to just control lanes, and Ahsoka can go down either of the far lanes and just solo anything, basically.
Yep.
And then on the... back alley, the new map,
Mos Eisley,
you're able to kind of tuck yourself behind, so you can fire down the long hallway on the one side, and then underneath you can use Ahsoka to pressure anyone who comes down your doorway, whatever side your door is on. If people come that way, you can use Ahsoka to bomb through and take them out again.
Yeah.
I mean, we played a match with this on Anchorhead,
Jabba's,
man, ruin all these. And yeah, your issue is going to be if you run into another long range list, there could be issues with it. Or if you don't get a friendly deployment side, you may have your issues with it. But yeah, I really like the list.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit on Jabba's Palace, it's going to struggle a little bit just because it's tough to maintain good lines of sight. Also, the list doesn't have card draw, which is most scum lists built around, you know, hunters have a little bit of card draw, something for card draw. I guess it's not always the case, but this list doesn't. So that is kind of the problem. And I don't want smugglers to be camping on terminals most of the time. I mean, they will if they need to, but I'd much prefer them to be getting points with objectives. So we'll see. It obviously requires some tinkering.
How do you deal with, like, Han, or how do you deal with Vader in this list?
Okay, so Han is not a threat. I mean, he's a threat, obviously. Han's always a threat. But if Han exposes himself, he's going to have to burn on the lamb fast. And if he burns on the lamb, most of the time that means he's not going to get a return shot. Because these Rangers, if Han exposes himself, I always save the Rangers for the end. And if Han exposes himself, they're just going to come up and just start peppering him with shots.
Yep.
And he's going to have to get out of there. So most of the time, Han players against Rangers know that they need to be very, very careful about when they're going to pick fights. You know, they can do it if they can remove a Ranger. Like, they'll send out Han to remove a Ranger, and then if they've got on the lamb in their hand, and if that's the case, then, you know, that's kind of where you're at.
Yep.
But Han is not as much of a threat. Vader, obviously, is more of a threat, because even if they're focused, it takes a lot of firepower for the Rangers to bring Vader down. So most of the time, what you want to do is move away from him, but obviously, a smart Vader player knows how to play around that, so... That's going to be tougher.
Yeah, I mean, Ahsoka's going to help you a little bit. You, like, if you can get the one or two huge attacks off with Ahsoka. But, yeah, I mean, Vader, avoid him. Like, yeah. I mean...
Vader's just like the Vader question, right? Yeah. Like, every list has to worry about that. Like, what do I do about Vader? Yeah. Most of the time, the answer is kill everything else. Kill the E-Jets, right? Like, that's most of the time the answer. But... All right, well, that's my list number one. Let's turn it over to JK. He's going to give us list number two.
Okay, my next one, again, most of these are sort of in the meta, but not necessarily played a ton, it's kind of Tarot Trooper, I like to call it Tarot Trooper Tinker Spy, because it has to have a cool name. So you run Tarot, two E-Jets, and then either three regular Riots, two of them having cross-training, or two Elite Riots with both of them having cross-training and... an officer, and then Rule by Fear and Zillow, however the points shake out. They kind of change depending on what you're using. The thought behind it is, first off, you're getting spy cards in there,
which is awesome.
Cause Imperial, you're not too worried about point cost. Like, there's a lot of stuff you could bring, New Orders, Grenadier, all those different things you could bring, but you're not losing Blaze or anything along those. So you can bring Comm Disrupt, which will get rid of a two-cost card. You can bring Intelligence Link. You can even bring Strategic Shift if you'd like to, which would just kind of help you in the long game if people are kind of ginning up and going slow in the back. But the idea is you have, if you're running against another Swarm, you have Tarot to Flamethrower and hopefully have enough firepower to take things out. I don't know if you can tank... Palpatine, like the Palpatine versus Tarot battle might not work as well, but you can get in pretty close and then move pretty far out, or you can take a little bit of a further shot. If you're up against Rebels, you can, you know, get Tarot in there and drop a Flamethrower on Han, huge. Which as, yeah, I mean, that's huge. What happens. Ken, if you remember Kenny's regional, you know, the Flamethrower can just weaken everything around you and it will make Rebels' lives miserable. And then the IG list is just, you have 14 figures or whatever it is, and you're just kind of walking forward and you're going to try and trade shots with them. And if they play Blaze, you have hopefully Comm Disrupt in your hand, or you have Intelligence Link, you have ways to get around it. That's the general idea. I mean, there's nothing special about it other than, you know, you are playing with the spy trait a little bit more, but you know, with Tarot, you could realistically get, you probably won't get end of round.
Yeah.
I have one that's seven activations.
Seven, possibly.
Which you could get it if you're playing another. Devious, yeah. But. If you're playing against another Imperialist, you're probably going to get it.
Yeah, that's true.
And so there's a relative chance that you could get end of round Tarot, Ferocity with Tarot, Call of Vanguard with Tarot, and then Attack again with Tarot, which is eight movement in, Flamethrower, attack, Flamethrower or attack, and then bomb out for 8 points as well. And if you could do that, that's essentially a Blaze.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, a lot of cards, and you know, a lot of variance in there, but it's the option of bombing in there and taking out something big and then getting out and then just holding objectives for the rest of the time.
Yeah.
So that's the general list.
I've seen it was a table next to me. Well, I wasn't playing it, and it was Terro and Palpatine, and some other bits and bobs, and on Jabba's palace. So they open the doors as you would, and the guy on the rebel guy doesn't know what's about to hit him. Terror comes charging across the mat.
I know this feeling. I know this feeling.
Does the thing. Then Palpatine goes, go on, Terror, have another go. Yeah. End around ferocity. And then it's initiative. Terror goes first. And it's just like, all my stuff's dead.
Well, that was a fun game.
Yeah. And I think Terror is so underestimated. Like, he's so good. And not enough people play him.
He kind of has a Bantha feel to him, where if you can get cards to break right, he can just mass destroy lists.
He's so good.
But yeah, like, his issue is that, unlike Vader, you just focus on Terro. Like, if you see him, you kill him.
I learned that lesson. You have to kill Terro as soon as you see him.
But that also plays into the other side, where if you spend time killing Terro, then you have now 17 figures or whatever it is just coming at you.
Yep.
And hopefully Terro got a flamethrower off or something, and then you can just pummel people, and you're gonna hopefully, you know, if you're playing the elites, you can continually weaken things, or if you're playing the regulars, then you're just walking in rolling red blue and hoping for damage.
Yeah, I mean, Terro is so well costed, 7 points for 13 health,
yeah,
with a solid attack and a great ability. Man, Terro is super good.
Yeah, he has issues on Nal Hutta just because of his impossibility of it's so hard to navigate. Because you're almost always landing in a puddle somewhere, especially if you're coming from that top side.
And he's not mobile.
Yeah, he's not mobile. Oh, okay. So he's not a massive figure, so he doesn't just ignore it.
Mm.
And so you have to play really smart. And like, if you're going down the middle section, you're going to run into some difficult terrain.
That's interesting.
But that's his downfall is, you know, Nal Hutta, which is going to be your downfall of this list regardless, is Nal Hutta sucks.
Yeah, it's true. Nal Hutta sucks. Get it out.
See, I love Nal Hutta, and I've got two close combat characters as my main damage dealers.
Yeah, that's true, Sam, but like, your close combat characters are, you know, Jedi, Luke, who can't... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I still think Nal Hutta is a weaker map for even Luke and Ahsoka, but there's a few things going for it. One is, your figures are insanely mobile, and also because the map is so big, you can run them away.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, you're not going to have more than one or two people with shots on them. You're more often than not going to be able to one-on-one things.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the mobility is true. Like, I struggle on Jabba's Palace. That's my biggest problem. Just because there isn't anywhere to hide.
Yeah.
And, I guess Terro probably has the same problem.
And since he's two spaces, he has, it's really hard to block, like body block with anyone with him.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah, I do like Terro. I've only seen him once in, how many games? So I've been to three regionals. Yeah, I've seen him once in three regionals. And I think that's a disappointment.
I've only seen him once as well.
I haven't seen him in a regional. I remember when he first came out with the Jabba's Realm. I saw him in that first tournament we played. I saw him twice.
Oh, really?
Both the Seabers were playing him.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think I've seen him once since.
Yeah, I never played him before Jorgen. Yeah. So, I mean, I think he's completely viable
in
terms of like what he brings to the table. He's completely viable. It's just,
I think everyone just looks and says, would you rather him or one more point for Palpatine or two more points for an ATDP?
Yeah.
Which I actually kind of think he's better than an ATDP. He's
certainly more mobile.
Yeah. I mean, because ATDP, if you can get down those 9 points for the charge generator or whatever that thing's called, then losing that reroll, you're kind of getting lucky if you're hitting six or seven spaces. I guess they have the three accuracy, so I guess it's like seven or eight spaces. And if you're that close, then someone else is killing you.
Yeah, it's true.
So, but again, that might just be, there's some confirmation bias of I've done well against ATDPs in the past. And so you're like, there's certain things you feel better against than other things. Like, ATDPs don't necessarily scare me too much.
Yeah.
But I'm sure other people are just frightened of ATDPs because of what has hit them in the past. Because
they're terrifying?
Yeah, because they're ridiculously good. Like, I'm not saying they're not good, but...
Yeah. I just realized I misplayed when I was in my regional game against Nick. I thought I had to have line of sight being like right next to the ATDP, and like I had to like actually have line of sight on him with Chin. And now I'm looking at it, you don't need that because it's a massive figure. Gosh, I'm an idiot. Thanks, Nick, for cheating and not telling me. All right, let's turn it over to Sam. He's going to give our why Sam's going to give us our list number two.
Okay, so my second list I really want to try, and everyone loves Darth Vader, and in the UK, Darth Vader is not played enough. Yeah. Han and E-Rangers are everywhere, or Han with something is everywhere. And I think Darth Vader is really, really good, and no one wants to play with him. So I'm going to go with Darth Vader, driven by hatred, with Emperor Palpatine, and two sets of E-Riots, and two sets of Officers and Zilla Technique. Because the E-Riots, for 7 points, are an absolute bargain. You put one set, one guy from one group and one guy from the other group together, they go off and do things as a pair, and escort Vader down the table. And if they die, then, oh well, I've got two sets of reinforcements in my command deck. And you can then you just spank out on brawler cards inside your command deck for Vader or the E-Riots. And as much as I do like E-Jets and their mobility and their three dice attack, I think they die so much easier than E-Riots. And they give up more points.
Yeah, that's true.
The E-Riots are so good at objective control. And I think that's really important. And I really like the concept of this list, and I really hope it isn't bad. I had to stop myself from swearing then, so I have to. I think this has got some legs to go on, and especially with this heavy Han meta that we have in the UK, I think it will be quite good.
Yeah, because Han can't one shot any of those guys. I mean,
yeah.
It's very tough for Han to one-shot an E-Riot, and that's scary for Han, right? Yeah.
And you're probably playing a card if you do. You're more than likely playing a Tools or something like that.
Yeah, but then you're like, fine.
And then you're like, yeah, I'll reinforce him. And if they get close enough and they can get off that one attack to weaken him, then it is like a weakened Han is a dead Han.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you just, yeah.
You've got really Grenadier coming down the line. You've got, the only problem I would say, or the only issue would be, is Palp ever going to get off an Emperor attack? Because it's going to be, maybe, but it's tough because all your guys are melee.
Yep.
That's the only issue. But, I mean, you can play around that, you know.
I'm going to get those officer shots off.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I would hate to run against that list.
Yeah.
So much health.
I'd like Palpatine, and you're right, I'm not 100% fixed on the Palpatine side of it. I would drop Palpatine and instead put in another set of E-Riots, but I can't take three, can I?
Nope, no. You can't.
No, damn it.
Thank heavens. Thank heavens.
Okay, I'll take a set of E-Jets.
Or Taro.
Yeah.
Or E-Jets, yeah.
No, E-Jets. I mean,
all great choice. Yeah.
And then I've got Rule by Fear as well.
Yep.
You know, and that's pretty good.
Oh my gosh, that's
so
terrifying.
I think that's quite a solid list. And then the E-Jets do become, I mean, they're pretty good anyway, but they're objective grabbers.
Yeah.
And the E-Riots then just become these guys who escort Vader up the board, and if you don't deal with the E-Riots, they'll smash your face in. And if you deal with the E-Riots, and they take a lot to deal with, then, okay, you've let Vader get into your line, and now I've won.
Yeah, I almost like Palpatine in the list, just because because he becomes the target.
It's true.
And he has 13 health, so he's going to stay alive. And if you can kind of hide him, just position him a little bit better, then people are then forced to attack either E-Riots or Vader. They're going to attack E-Riots. And then you could get to a point where Vader can get up and get right up in your grill, do those damage. And yeah, Palp's just so interesting because he can do just so much stuff.
Yeah.
And he can, like, he turns a force choke into a death for, like, smugglers or things along those lines.
It's huge.
He makes dropping down the pit a question. There's so much stuff that he does without doing anything.
For free.
Yeah, for free.
Yeah.
And, like, losing Emperor is a huge hit. Like, if you took Emperor off his card, he's probably not worth what he's worth, but it's interesting because, yeah, like, I would want to then focus on Palpatine. And even if, yeah, even if he just takes three shots and you have to, and all your E-Riots are holding objectives, you know, you'll give your opponent 9 points to hold a bunch of objectives and let Vader get in there.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I think, yeah, Palpatine's really good. I think he's going to become a new staple for most Imperial lists.
I agree.
I don't think Vader will stay, in your guys' meta, Vader's pretty big, isn't he?
Yeah.
Where he isn't for us. And I don't think Vader will stay there. I think Palpatine will become the new focus. And things like Trooper Swarms or, you know, as you said, Terror. Terror is really good. And you pair Terror with at the Emperor. Mm. You know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Or the ATDP. It's a brilliant pairing. The Emperor can new orders the ATDP.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. He can new orders the ATDP and Emperor the ATDP.
That's
because it's not an action, right? Yeah. Like, so what he'll do is he can, you know, order and perform an attack, and then he's going to Emperor him. Oh my gosh, that's disgusting.
That happened to me. That's the reason I stopped running one of the reasons I stopped running my double E sentry list was they were, you know, down this line, and the officers moved him out, and then it was one of the Seabers force rushed with Palp, stepped him out, ordered an attack, new orders, stepped him back.
Oh my gosh.
And then the ATDP, I think the ATDP got 5 attacks off.
Oh my gosh.
That was back before I really knew what the ATDP could do.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would be a lot better off now than I was then. But yeah, he just, seriously, I think he killed like 4 figures in that first round because I was trying to like one-on-one him, and it was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because then he had like, because I think he ran sentries and jets on top of that. Okay. And so then that stuff came after, and I just got obliterated.
Yeah, that's insane.
But yeah,
just insane.
So that's mine done. So Kenny, what is your second?
So my list number 2 is, I'm calling it the lover's box. And the reason is because it's Han and Leia. Now I know
you're going to say Luke and Leia.
Whoa.
We're episode 4 here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Episode 4. That's right. This spoiler alert.
We don't know yet.
Yeah, exactly. Man, that'd be awesome. I'd have to figure out a way to make that work. So I know what everyone thinks. Like, Leia is not good because she's overcosted. And she is overcosted, and she's going to get one shot by lots of things. But this list is built around a few things. One is it's got Han, so that's all you need.
You're tier 1.
Yeah, you've already got a tier 1 list. Yeah. All you need to do is like Han and C-3PO. Like, that 12 points is enough to handle a lot of things.
Yes.
But it also has MHD, right? Who can heals for days? Mach, okay, who gives me a second spy because Leia is also a spy. For those of you who don't know, I mean, you might have never seen Leia. She's been out since Wonder Twins, but out. But she's 8 points. She has an innate evade. She has a surge for +2 damage, surge to recover 2, surge for +3 accuracy. She's rolling a blue, yellow, yellow. And then she has 2 abilities. One is her battlefield leadership ability. It's an action. Perform an attack. Then choose a friendly figure within 3 spaces. That figure may interrupt to perform an attack with the same target. So she can perform an attack on somebody, and then she can have Han perform an attack on somebody. So Han's already getting an extra attack per round. Then she has a surge ability. Military efficiency. Choose 1 command card in your discard pile and shuffle it into your command deck. So you think about this, okay? I've got Han. I've got MHD. So I've got 2 cards in the game that if I draw them a second time, it is very tough for my opponent to win, and that's On the Lam and Miracle Worker. Okay, so the whole premise of this list, I've also got R2 and Rebel High Command. So the whole basis of this list is I am just going to chug through my command deck as fast as possible because I've got planning, I've got officer's training, I had celebration, but I'm actually taking it out to put Fool Me Once in there, which is dumb, but it's another card draw, right? Yeah. And the whole point is I'm going to cycle through my deck super fast, and I'm just going to be drawing On the Lam and Miracle Worker all day, right? And especially with R2 being able to like mid-round scomp. So what can happen is Han can On the Lam, you know, get away from somebody. Then let's assume I've got no command cards left. It's round 3. I've got no command cards left in my command deck. Then what'll happen is Leia will do a shot with her and Han on somebody who they will kill, right? Because it's Han doing more damage to people.
Yep.
Put On the Lam back into my command deck, which then R2-D2 will draw. So Han becomes unkillable, right? That's the problem. So the list's weakness is Han is literally the entirety of my damage output.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like an X-Wing when you had Dengaru was like built around this idea that one ship did all of your damage. But it is possible to do it if you can. I mean, realistically, like if I draw On Land Miracle Worker or any of these cards around one, it's going to be very, like, you can't kill Han, right? And so then it's just about keeping Leia alive. And smart players know they've got to kill Leia. But the problem with killing Leia is I've also got Miracle Worker, right? Yeah. So it's just it's a brutal combo. And I don't think it's not as, you know, sheerly efficient as Han E-Rangers, but it's pretty dang good. Yeah. So, I mean, on Nalhutta, it'll struggle against Han E-Rangers, but everywhere else, I can get, realistically, 3 Han attacks off every round, and sometimes 4 if they're going to shoot at him. And a lot of times, he's their only target. Yeah. I'm only going to let them shoot Han, so.
Yeah. The interesting thing is, because you have Intelligence Leak and Fool Me Once, if you, by chance, draw... So say, like, your opening hand could be Miracle Worker, On the Lamb, and Planning, or whatever.
Oh, man, that's
so strange. You drop, you play Planning, you draw Fool Me Once and or Intelligence Leak. At that point, you play either one of those, and you take those 2 strain as cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then you're just thinning out your deck. You could play another one. You could realistically get rid of 5 cards that aren't Planning and Miracle Worker.
Yep.
And so then, every time you're drawing a card, you're drawing either Miracle Worker or On the Lamb.
It's disgusting.
And so you're just like, cool, I'm going to move him here.
Yeah.
Great. I'm going to shuffle this back in. Okay, R2's going to go. Draw me that card back. Okay, I'm going to On the Lamb again. Run away. Yeah, that's
really interesting. I'm going to say, so Fool Me Once, it's a card also that it just came out. One second, let me pull it up here. It just came out. It hasn't seen a whole lot of play because it just doesn't really have a spot right now. But it's a 0-cost card, any figure, suffer 2 strain. Then, use during your activation to return your opponent's command discard pile to the game box. Then, if you're a spy, draw 1 command card. So that thing's got a few things going for it. One is, let's say they've got Shared Experience or a card I don't want them to get back.
Yeah.
I can burn it with Fool Me Once. And I can take 2 strain. I can choose to take it as 2 damage, or I can choose to take it as 2 cards, right? And it's awesome because, one, it helps you mill through your deck, but then I also get to draw a card, right? Yep. So it's more card draw. And I've got Rebel High Command and R2-D2, so I'm going to be drawing. It's just, I will, like, have drawn through my deck by the end of round 3 at, like, max, right?
Yeah. Even if you don't draw On the Lamb or Miracle Worker, you probably want to take it as cards because you can just take your shot and get
exactly.
it back.
Like with Leia.
You just want, you want to get rid of your deck, and because you could, if you drew Planning, you'd have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You draw 9 cards round 1, right?
Yeah, mill through 9 cards. Like 9 cards in that process from my deck.
Because you draw 3, and then Planning draws you 2 more, so that's 5 cards.
Yep.
And then R2, you draw 1.
Yep.
Terminal, you draw 2, and then so that's 9 card draw.
That's insane.
And then you can actually realistically mill through all but 1 card in your deck.
With Fool Me Once.
Yeah, with Fool Me Once and Intelligence Leak.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to get a 3-cost card.
Officer's training as well.
I also have officer's training.
You it's the same as my deck, but you've got Rebel High Command and I don't. The card draw is awesome. Seeing 8-9 cards by the start of turn 2.
Yeah.
You've got pretty much everything you need.
And the ability, here's the thing. So the ability for Leia to keep Han firing is insane because Han has got the best attack in the game in terms of he's shooting, he can hit people from far away. He's got just a great, he's got great surges. You know, he's just got everything going for him. And so people can't put people out because if Han can triple tap them, like they're going to die. Even Vader can't do that, right? Because if Han is focused, and because what'll happen is I'll focus Han. If Vader comes out, I'll go shoot him. And then I can like save Gideon and Leia to focus Han again, right? I mean, it's just insane the amount of like single target damage I can do.
Yeah.
So,
I think you need to send me this list so I can paint it and play it because the more you talk about it, the more exciting it is.
I'm going to send it to you on the Slack channel. Everyone needs to join the Slack.
We joked about this with Brett and I. Brett Kelly and I were talking about how if you, with either Son of Skywalker or Blaze, you could, in theory, with Leia, get like, I think you could get 4 Blazes off in a turn if you played it right.
That's disgusting.
With being able to new orders. I mean, it's all these things playing off, right? But yeah. That's just one of the fun things you can look forward to on the Slack channel is us making ridiculous combos and seeing how it works.
Yeah, it turns out. I mean, the thing is, though, is like we say that, but like if Brett Kelly would have posted his Han Luke list on the Slack channel, I'd have thought that was a dink around list.
Yeah.
It's like you're not going to like Han and Luke are it's 22 points for two figures, right? Like, that's insane. But it turns out, I mean, one is Brett's a genius.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, like, it's also just a super good list, right? Like, and you think the initial things you think are wrong with it, turns out, like, they can play around with it.
Yep. That's the thing is, yeah, the Slack channel is really nice just because you can either be talked into something and talked out of something. Yeah. Like, you can throw something up and be like, hey, I want to use Chewy. What are your thoughts? And you go, okay, well, let's throw things together. Or, yeah. Anyway, this isn't a Slack.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I wanted to join the Slack channel. Yeah. But those are the lists that we've been working on. We've kind of tried to help each other and the listeners understand why we're building them for the current meta. Do you guys have any other thoughts?
I'm good. I don't have any other...
Sam, give us some more wisdom.
There's so much to go through. I think people just underestimate ATDPs. I'll be honest with you. Like, I think they're so good. I don't know why people don't run two of them.
I've thought about it.
Oh, man, that's scary. Because they don't want to buy two things as part of the Empire.
Could be. I think 18 points ATDPs. For...
Yeah, and especially while Jabba's Palace is in there. And the Nau Hutta.
Mm.
Just consider that, you know, awfulness.
Yeah, your issue with Nau Hutta is if you get topside, your second ATDP is going to take so long to get into the fray.
It's true.
Because you have to position them sideways.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess you can.
Play a 39 point list.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
And that's only 18 points. You've still got 22 points left to do. I mean, you want officers. You're going to want at least two to move stuff up. But.
Yeah. And worst case scenario, a late game healthy ATDP is frightening.
That's
like,
true.
If that's what you're worried about, I guess you're okay.
That's a good point.
I mean, we've got news. We've missed the news, I guess. We have the Q1 cards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Prizes, which we have sort of missed. So it's Ahsoka for top three by the look of it.
Is this for Worlds, or is this for...
No, this is Q1.
Oh, okay, cool.
So Q1 is Ahsoka for top three, hidden tokens for first place, and I can't remember what the participation prize is.
That's awesome.
It's an ATDP.
It is an ATDP?
Yeah, ATDP, yeah.
That's awesome. Man, that's cool.
Yeah.
Ahsoka!
It's those weird hidden studden tokens, because they couldn't decide what to do on their type out, and so they had... No one likes to see your figure stunned, but you also don't want to see your figures hidden. And you're like, I don't know. Are these hidden tokens or stunned tokens? I don't know what you're saying.
And what was the other? Yeah, there was another typo, but it was pretty funny. But that's awesome. Yeah, good point. They won't. They're waiting. I guess I am convinced that FFG is waiting until that stupid Legion game gets released before they give us any more news. But
I think this is the week. I'm putting it out there now. This is the week.
As Alexander Pope says, hope springs eternal in the human breast. So we shall hope.
Yeah.
But.
Let's go with Vader. So let's talk about Vader, actually. We're going to do this together. Okay. So have you seen the... it's the Dark Force thing which moves them?
Dark Energy.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Energy and Parting Blow trick for Vader.
Yes. Tell us about it.
Okay, so you have Vader, you do your Vader attacks, and then you do Dark Energy, which... So use during your activation, choose another small figure within three spaces, push that figure up to one space, and then it suffers one damage. So Vader can kill something, and then push it, and then use Parting Blow, so when it leaves the space, it then takes another Vader attack.
Yeah, also what you can do with that is awesome. And also what you can do with that is, if you can get Vader up to attack somebody... And you have Dark Energy in hand, so you attack them. Then you use Dark Energy to move them just to another adjacent space. And then you attack them again, because they're technically exiting a space adjacent to Vader. Yeah, that's an insane combo.
Yeah.
I really like that. Yeah, I've had it done to me. And I think you use Force Surge as well to do more damage against disgusting. Luke. And it was horrid. And luckily I rolled an X-Men. Otherwise, Luke could have been dead.
Yep.
and
you use Unshakable in there as well. Did you say that already? Because you can use Unshakable, then you get rid of the stun.
Yeah,
you
got to use Unshakable to clear the stun.
Yeah,
because you will get stunned with Parting Blow. Yeah, after the attack goes. I think Parting Blow is a card that people should start considering more, because you can position. So you can position your people that like people when they want to on the lamb. if they actually want to on the lamb away from someone, like a brawler is attacking him, you can parting blow them as they're on the lamb running away, yep. right? And so you're still going to get another attack.
Yep.
It's a great card. I mean, it comes with a pretty high cost in that you get stunned, but it's still good.
Yeah, I think E-Riots could...
Yeah, they don't care.
Like, yeah.
They're clearing the stun, but...
Yeah. I'd love to be able to stun them with the parting blow. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Are there any... What brawlers... No brawlers has stun.
No, not yet.
Fortunately.
Because RGC doesn't, right?
No.
Okay.
He's got Pierce 2 and plus 2.
Not that anyone's running Rogar Champion.
That's true. Thank heavens. Good night. That's all we need is another amazing Imperial high damage.
I do brawler. Think about it, man, because, you know, super fast, rolls black, white.
Yeah.
With Zillow, hits hard.
You can't kill people around him or he'll go up and do another attack in your face.
Yeah. I mean, he still isn't worth it, but.
No.
But I love the idea.
That's it.
That's the issue. There's a lot of these cards that I'm like, I love the idea. Man, do they suck.
Man, why did they cost them so much? Cool. Well, we want to thank YSAM and JK for coming on the episode. And we've been a little more tangential this time. But we just kind of want to start breaking open the meta a little bit as we're getting ready to approach Worlds. We're going to be getting news sometime soon. And
this
so...
week.
This week, Sam says, that's right. And so we just kind of want people to start thinking about not just like building meta lists, which is awesome. There's nothing wrong with building good, strong meta lists, but think about like, what's the way we're going to start breaking open the meta. So that's all we've got. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Join the Slack channel.
That's right. Join the Slack channel.
And support, Patreon.
And support us on Patreon. That's right. Thank you so much, Sam.
No worries. Thank you for having me once again.
Thank you.
Let me ramble.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, that's all right.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. Thank you, JK.
Anytime.
Okay, well, and we want to thank everyone for listening. Have a good day.